Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will cover the second iteration of the ongoing CEO Briefing book series. Joining me today in studio, glad to welcome back Jason Trejo, the head of asset allocation for the Americas, as well as Paul Shao, asset allocation strategist for the Americas, joining us today from the UBS Chief Investment Office. So Jason, Paul, it's great to be with you both here in studio. Looking forward to diving into the second edition of the publication series.
Thank you, Dan. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Dan.
So before we get into the report itself, what this latest edition contains, Paul, it might be helpful if you can remind our listeners how this publication differs from others CEIO produces.
Absolutely. So there was always some desire to make a product for FAs and clients who are business owners. And we thought that this publication would take the rigor, the research that CIO produces, and just take a different perspective. It's a quarterly presentation. And just a reminder for your viewers, we tried to make this as narrative or as modular as people want it. So if clients are especially interested in one particular section, they could potentially tear it off just to take a look. We split it into four parts, going into an update of the macroeconomic outlook, going to operational considerations for business owners, as well as financing costs before going into what markets are doing.
Okay, so quite a few components within. Thank you, Paul, for that refresher. So with that, Jason, now let's get into some of the revised insights within the piece in terms of the key messages, overall macroeconomic environment. What has really changed over the past few months since you last joined us?
Well, if you think about the macro environment kind of early in the second quarter versus early in the first quarter, if I were to kind of bottom line it, it's kind of higher for longer, kind of across the board. When we think about the macro environment of growth, you know, being stronger than what we had anticipated at the start of the year and not showing any signs of real moderation. Inflation, as we know from the first quarter data, was stronger than expected and kind of raising the concern about could inflation be sticky. As a result, the outlook for the Fed has changed quite a bit. You know, back in mid-January, the market was pricing nearly 7 rate cuts. You know, now by the second quarter, it was down to less than 2, like around 40 basis points. So kind of a higher or longer kind of regime across the board. So recession risk has further receded, you know, for the time being. I think the risk now is we think about soft landing as our base case, but instead of hard landing being kind of the alternative, it's more of this sort of no landing, like just how long do we stay elevated? So then from a macro perspective, that's the main message. A couple other key points just from the macro story. We highlighted kind of U.S. exceptionalism in Q1. We thought there'd be some convergence on the growth front. It's still U.S. is kind of growing strong there. And now the exceptionalism more is on the central bank front, where it looks like the Fed may not cut until, we don't think until September, whereas other central banks are pretty, especially in Europe, are look like very likely to kind of get started in June. And so the divergence of central bank policy, that's kind of, again, sort of U.S. exceptionalism. So that's another kind of key story that is evolving as the year goes on.
With that all in mind, Paul, what does that mean for firm operating environments?
Absolutely. So we take a look at the operational considerations for business owners and split it into really four parts: what the consumer is doing, what labor markets are doing, how financing environment is, as well as what the real estate sector is doing. And from those sections, following what Jason said about higher for longer, some U.S. exceptionalism, we do see some improvements on the consumer side as sentiment has improved, as disinflation expectations become firmer. The labor market still shows still quite robust and still tight. But as Jason pointed out, we do see some cooling from the demand side. Wages are slowing as well as job vacancies, and that's good for the soft landing hypothesis. That's really key for the Fed to cut rates later this year. The financing costs that firms have to consider have been a little better on the margins. There's still some challenging areas. And then speaking of challenging, we do see a lot of stress still in the real estate markets, both on the commercial as and residential side. So for firms, the conclusion is it's a bit better, not really unchanged from the last quarter, really still strength on the consumer side as well as labor markets.
Thank you for that clarity there. So Jason, heading into 2024, there was a lot more optimism regarding a pickup of corporate transactions spanning initial initial public offerings, VC activity, venture capital, mergers and acquisitions, private equity throughout the course of 2024. How exactly has that all materialized thus far?
Well, you're right. I think, you know, coming into the year, early in the year, the thought was you'd see this pickup in corporate activity, M&A, IPOs, that have been pretty dormant for nearly 2 years. We did see, I'd say, some green shoots, some positive signs, but the rise in rates and the concern that rates could go even higher has sort of stunted some of that, I'd say, like the green shoots have stopped perhaps growing. So the if you think about the story for the equity markets overall this year, very strong start to the year, very good Q1, and literally as the kind of the quarter changed, we go into April and we see the S&P pull back about 5.5%, from its end of March high, largely due to these concerns about interest rates kind of staying higher for longer, obviously geopolitical risk matters as well. So as the equity markets have evolved for different reasons, more volatility has come back in the markets. It's also been given a little bit of pause maybe for some M&A activity. I think on the IPO front, there's some prominent IPOs in Q1, but then the performance hasn't really kind of held up. If we look at private markets, again, sort of expectations that private equity will sort of pick up. But this rise in rates and sort of the way I think of it is a bid-ask spread between potential buyers and sellers of big assets that applies to real estate that was narrowing, then maybe that rise has kind of widened that again. And so if that's the case, I think it just makes it harder for a real acceleration of the corporate activity. So again, the bottom line is some positive kind of green shoots, the rate rise, and kind of throw some sand into the gears of how quickly that recover, and maybe it's being pushed out to later this year or even potentially beyond.
Now, in terms of a risk consideration, Paul, we have seen a rise in geopolitical tensions spanning the entire globe, including recently what we've seen in the Middle East. How should executives be thinking about these geopolitical tensions?
So we think that while there has been an increase in geopolitical tensions, the transmission mechanism is really important for executives. Right now, compared to other events like the start of the Russian-Ukraine war, things that you'd really see happen when you see a rise of geopolitical risk, higher oil prices, higher gold, it's sort of a mixed picture. Gold has done really, really well. Mm-hmm. Oil prices have been quite well behaved, and risk asset markets, equities, are still in pretty healthy levels that we think. So there is a little more risk, but investors still overall, we think, are still quite optimistic. On the politics front, what's different from this time, from our last report, is that we're having a clear picture of the election in the U.S. going mm-hmm. into November. We still think that for investors, for businesses, the most important thing is what is the likelihood of us getting a united government, because that's just really key to pass legislation that would affect businesses, that would affect the economy. And as of right now, what the polls suggest is that united government, whether you have a Democratic or Republican top of the ticket, is still quite hard to see right now. Mm-hmm. And that's something that executives and investors should keep in mind.
Okay, so quite a few considerations across the globe, though here at home as well. So as we begin, Jason, to close out, I'm curious, how has the Q1 report been utilized thus far, and what can we expect, what can readers expect going forward?
Well, we've gotten positive feedback. I think it's a nice, good summary of a lot of economic topics, a lot of markets, politics, all in sort of one compilation. We've been doing events, and we have more upcoming, and Paul's done an event with business owners. I have a couple of things coming up. We're doing webcasts. So definitely the engagement is picking up. There's a lot of content in this presentation. There's 65 slides, but I'd also say when Paul and I kind of go through it, there's probably more that it's on the cutting room floor and that doesn't make it in than does, because there's a lot to cover, which means, for anyone who wants to kind of read it, we're also open to conversations to kind of dive deeper into any of these topics that we've touched on. We're kind of in some ways kind of scratching the surface of how much we'd put in the presentation versus how much we can actually go into it. So, we would encourage anyone to look at it, but then certainly feel free to reach out to have questions for myself or Paul. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk to clients, events, where that certainly is a something that we're doing, and we kind of encourage that as well.
Well, it's great to hear about the positive reception received thus far, and I will point our clients of UBS, if you do have any follow-up questions, if you would like to attain a copy directly of this very robust presentation, please be sure to reach out to your UBS financial advisor. Otherwise, Paul, Jason, thank you both for dropping by the studio. Great catching up about the publication series, and look forward to having you both back on again soon.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.